Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to worship tonight. This starts our Advent series where Isaiah is going to share Christmas with us. And it's a neat series. It's well thought up and well set up. I'm excited to share it with you as we begin this evening by looking at Isaiah's Christmas tree. I hope to share with you why it was the perfect tree, how he chose it. And it's odd what God did with it once he found the perfect tree. But he did that for us. And then hopefully when you see your trees this Christmas season and leading up to Christmas, we can have the peace and comfort that God shared, not only through Isaiah, but that he shares with us through his word also. The order of worship that will follow is printed for you completely in the worship booklet for this evening. We open with our opening hymn, hymn 703. It's in the blue hymnal, the blue supplement book, number 703. Oh, I'm getting message. It's in here. Okay, it's in here. It's printed for you, right on page 2. Let us worship the Lord. Jesus Christ is the light of the world.
The light of the world is still overcome.
Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening.
Amen.
Let your light scatter the darkness.
And illumine your church.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who led your people Israel with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Enlighten our darkness by the light of your Christ. May his word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, for you are merciful and you love your whole creation. We, your creatures, glorify you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let our prayers be acceptable in your sight. Come and help us in time of need that we may sing your praise in holy joy now and forever. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when there grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety.
Lord, you consoled your son in his anguish and released him from the darkness of the grave. Turn your face toward us that we may sleep in peace and wake to live in your light. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We have the Advent, the coming history of our Savior through St. Luke this year, from Luke chapter 1. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent
and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people."
This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Dear people of God who are preparing to celebrate your Savior's birth, who are keeping your hearts prepared for his coming, may the peace of the Lord Jesus be with you tonight and always. Amen. My devotion this evening is based on one verse from Isaiah chapter 11. It is verse 1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. So how do you pick a Christmas tree? Do you have a certain criteria that you're looking for as you go out to find the perfect tree? I think some people like the perfect shape and form of the Christmas tree. Some people don't really care what it looks like as long as it's good and full. Other people don't care if it's good or full or shaped right as long as it's huge. Right? It has to be scraping the ceiling. That's the one you're looking for. Some of you have a particular variety that you like because your favorite ornaments hang just so off the limbs and it looks nice. Or maybe you have a topper, and not every variety of tree works well for your topper, so you have to have that particular variety so that that works out for you as well. Or maybe you want one that folds up quickly so that it comes right out of the closet, it's up, folds up right back into the closet, and you're done. Because you just don't want to mess with it. I think we all have our criteria for the kind of Christmas tree that we want. We just do. Isaiah had a Christmas tree in mind. And it had to be the perfect Christmas tree. And it really had nothing to do with how tall it was or how full it was or what variety it was. God told him exactly what kind of Christmas tree to talk about. Because it was a Christmas tree that God himself picked. It had to be perfect. It had to be flawless. And Isaiah had a lot of trees to choose from. There were a lot of trees in the land of Israel, the land of Judah at that time. Isaiah in chapter 10, he uses the imagery of trees too to talk about the people living around God's people. Big, tall, strong, noble trees. And when God's people would wander, oftentimes those big, tall trees would tower over God's people, and God's people looked puny, God's people looked pathetic. Isaiah told them, a time is coming when these tall trees around you, they're going to stomp you down, Judah. There's going to be nothing left of you but a stump. But Isaiah also promised God in the end, his will is going to be done, and God is going to judge the people who stomp you down. Isaiah said in verse 10, "See, the Lord Almighty, will lop off the high boughs with great power. The lofty trees will be felled, the tall ones will be brought low. He will cut down the forest thickets with an axe. Lebanon will fall before the mighty one." It shouldn't surprise us that Isaiah didn't choose any of those trees, tall, towering, noble trees. God told him which one to pick. It had to be the right one. It had to be from that stump of Jesse. Even though it wasn't going to look very impressive, it was going to look quite pathetic, actually, especially with all the other trees that he had to choose from, God told Isaiah, talk about this one, because this is the one I'm picking. You know, we have a really good example of a stump producing a tree, producing a branch. I took a picture of it, and I put it, actually I didn't, the ushers were gracious enough to put it into the worship booklet for you. Does anybody know where this stump is on our campus? That's right, it's right over there. It's right in line with the tall trees, and then you'll see that there's one missing. And not too long ago, there was nothing coming up from that stump, but now this is what's happening. You see, in the foreground, there's a dead stump. In the background, a tree is growing up out of the stump. That's what Judah was. The neighboring people, through God's judgment, had come and they wiped out Judah, reduced Jesse to a stump. But God said, Isaiah, I want you to go there to pick a tree for me. And I suppose today that'd be like you go to the lot and you see all the trees and they look really nice, but you walk past all of those. And you go past the discards and you go back into the trailer that all the trees came from. And that's where they threw all the bottoms of the trunk that they cut off because nobody wants those. And then you go and you actually find something living there. That's what God told Isaiah to say, this is what I'm picking. Because even though it looked desolate, it looked dead, the roots from the stump were still deep. And God didn't so much care what was going on up here. He was more concerned about preserving his people, preserving the line of the Savior. He didn't care that the heathens were towering over his people. He didn't care that they were noble, that they were wealthy, that they were successful, that they were proud, and everybody wanted to be them. God said, Isaiah, I want you to say, this is the tree that I'm picking. And when the time was right, you know these words, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under law, that he might receive the full rights, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Its roots, this tree that God brought, its roots did not go down deep into sin. And the nutrients that this tree brought up were not the nutrients of the world. And the fruit that this tree was going to make, it didn't look like the fruits from the world. It didn't look like the fruits of other trees. It produced fruit according to its kind, exactly what God was looking for. When the time was right, this tree that Isaiah was talking about, this Christmas tree, was born. And God raised it up, and it grew. Jesus grew from a baby. He grew into a man, and he was perfect, and he was sinless. Again, never sending his roots down into sin, never drinking from the world, never producing fruit that shouldn't be on this tree in the first place. But then God did something to his tree. And you have to wonder, why did God do that to his tree? When you look at all the other trees, if you compare Jesus to everybody else in the world, there were sinners in the world. There were very horrible people in the world, very bad people saying and doing very bad things to his own son, to his own tree. But what did God start doing to his tree? God started cutting down his tree. In judgment, God said, for every time that people send their roots down into sin, I demand punishment for that, and I'm going to punish that. Any time that the people of the world received nourishment from the world, and then the nourishment that they drank in produced the fruit of the world, and it was not what God was looking for, it was not proper, it was not fitting, God started punishing his son. Even though all the other trees were doing it, even though all the other trees were sending their roots down into sin and producing sinfulness, God started hacking back his son, the tree that he planted, the tree that Isaiah said was going to come, that God handpicked. And you know the verses. Jesus said, this is exactly what's going to happen. John the Baptist warned about this. The axe is already at the root. And God is going to chop down every tree. And he did that with the trees of Lebanon when the time was right. God sent his judgment and he was done with them and he brought them down. Jesus said in his parable, he says, anybody who does not produce fruit in keeping with repentance, everybody who does not live for me is going to be cut down. They're going to be judged, cast off into the fire forever. And I think it's one thing to look at it and it's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing when it becomes personalized. When you ask yourself, when did you send your roots down into sin? And what does God say he's going to do when you do that? He says he's going to cut off those branches because that's what you deserve. When you start drinking in the nutrients of the world, and because that's what you are feeding your soul, and then that's the kind of fruit that you produce, the fruit that is not in keeping with God's word, the fruit that is not proper for the child of God, the fruit that does not belong on the tree that does not look like his son's tree, this is what deserves to be happening to you. All your branches cut off, your branches cut down. And because it takes hard work to really grab onto just exactly what it means to drink in the nutrients of the world, to send your roots down into sin, we'll get a little bit of help from St. Paul. St. Paul says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so, are you letting the world fill you up with its nourishment? Are you tapping in to sin? Is the fruit that you are producing look like this little list of laundry list of sins that St. Paul was talking about? And I think even specific to Advent, are you getting all crazy already because of Christmas? Maybe a little Christmas anger because you miss somebody, especially at Christmas time, and it hurts, and you have some Christmas anger. Or maybe it's just Christmas anxiety, because where are you going to get the money to buy these presents this year? Or how are you ever going to get everything done? Or how are you going to face that person that you know you have to face because they're coming over to your house with everybody else, and it's probably somebody in your family? Maybe you feel especially guilty at Christmas time because God sent His Son. What is the fruit that does not belong in your life this Advent season? And then it really hits home when you realize that because of your sin, God chopped on His Son a little bit more. And because He said that someone is going to have to be thrown into the fire because of your sin, every bit of life of His Son, His hand-picked Christmas tree that Isaiah said was coming, and God did this because that's the punishment I deserved, and that's the punishment you deserve. Jesus was the only Christmas tree that was going to solve the problem. Because God didn't stop at just a little bit of punishment for His Son. He completely punished His Son. God completely cut off His Son Jesus and sent His Son to hell for you. He sent His Son to hell for me. And then God looked at His Christmas tree that He picked. He looked at the sacrifice that His Christmas tree made for you and for me and for the world. He looked at the perfect life that His Son lived. His Son, He never sent His roots down into sin. Jesus never drank the nourishment of the world. Jesus never made the fruit that you and I make. God looked at His Son and He said, "Well done." And He accepted His Son's sacrifice for you and for me, and He gave us this promise that because He sacrificed His Son, the Son that He sent, the perfect branch that Isaiah said was coming, you and I are fully, completely forgiven. Isaiah made other promises about this branch too, about the perfect Christmas tree that He picked. Typically, we read them during Lent. "Surely He took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered Him punished by God, stricken by Him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him. By His wounds, we are healed." His Son was wounded for you. His Son was wounded for me. And because He was, we are healed. Our sins are taken away. Our relationship with God is healed. We are brought back into His family. And after He has suffered, He will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the sinners. Green trees at Christmas time, right? Because Jesus lives. He suffered and died for us, and he rose again. That's how we know that he justified the many. And God knows what you've done. God knows where your roots have been. God knows what you've drank in. God knows the fruit that you've made. And he took care of it once and for all by raising up for you the branch, the tree that he promised through Isaiah. And he kept that promise for you. So that God looks at you and he says, not guilty. And he welcomes you into his home. God gave him a portion among the wealthy. God gave him a portion in heaven. And because he lives in heaven, one day you're going to live in heaven too. Isaiah said, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The branch bore fruit. He did his job. And because he did his job, you are justified before God, declared not guilty for God. Because he did his job, you are healed. The guilt that you feel is healed. Any of the anxiety that you might feel around Christmas time is replaced with peace. Because God raised up a branch just like he promised. So maybe we can think about that a little bit during Advent. And maybe we can see some of the fruit that probably shouldn't be there in our lives. And we can take that fruit and we can give it to Jesus. And he'll remind you that he died for that. And he will strengthen you, and you can tap back into him, and he'll strengthen you to go out and to do better. And maybe when you get anxious, and maybe when you have so much to do, you can stop when you see a Christmas tree. And you can remember that Jesus brought you peace by being the perfect Christmas tree that Isaiah promised was coming, and he did. May God bless you with healing and with peace this Advent season. Amen. We join together to sing the Song of Mary on page 8 in the worship booklet.
Thank you.
Worship this evening continues on page 10 with the responsive prayer, Lord, have mercy.
In the closing hours of this day, hear us as we pray, O Lord. For the well-being of people everywhere, for the growth of your church in all the world, and for the strengthening of all who serve and worship here, we pray, O Lord. For one another, young and old, for your blessings that come with every stage of life, and for joy in doing your will, we pray, O Lord. For our public servants who work day and night to bring protection, justice, learning, and health to this and every place, we pray to you, O Lord. For favorable weather and bountiful harvests, for clothing and food, for health of body, mind, and spirit, and for deliverance from all sin and every form of evil, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the faithful who have gone before us, who have shared with us your good news, whose souls are now at rest in your heavenly kingdom, we give you thanks, O Lord. In thanksgiving for your many and varied gifts to us, we now commend ourselves to your care. Be our shield and strength, O Lord.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Lord God, all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works come from you. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments. Defend us also from the fear of our enemies, that we may live in peace and quietness, through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Stanzas 1 and 7 of hymn 580. Good evening again to everyone, and again, may the peace and healing of your Savior Jesus be with you this Advent season as you prepare to celebrate his birth and anticipate the greater day that he comes to take us to be with him forever. I truly enjoyed wrapping up my day with you in God's house. I was telling somebody not too long ago, you should be up here and hear God's people singing. So thank you for lifting me up. I appreciate that. Thank you if you took time out of a very busy season after a very busy day of school to bring your kids here back to St. Mark's again. We appreciate you lending their voices and their time. They did a great thing, and praise God for their voices. So we thank you for doing that. Also, thank you to everybody who took care of fellowship this evening. The chili was fantastic, and I think we all enjoyed the opportunity to be together. So please feel free to visit with one another before you're ushered out, and I will greet you one more time back in the lobby. Thank you.